I almost feel like I'm going to change my last name from Johnson to Heffernan. Scott and Jill Heffernan will just join the family and be part. We got to see his father came over from Wichita and his son as well, and their family. They came over for the recital on Friday. What a blessing that was to be here for the recital. So I said, if there is a recital part two, oh, we would love to come to recital part two. So that would really be a blessing. So this morning, we're looking at God's lyrics, the songs from Scripture. Last week, we looked at the Song of the Sea. And in these different songs, we see, number one, that God is addressed, he is adored, he's magnified, and just his whole presence is made large in our eyes. A lot of our hymns talk about that the Lord is our rock. And you'll see that a lot of times in the Psalms. The Lord is our rock. Have you ever wondered why they compare our God to a rock? Well, I believe the idea is when they traveled out of Egypt and went into their wanderings, they passed by the Mount Sinai, and it was kind of a mountain. Now, has anybody ever been to Mount Sinai? Anybody ever been? I've seen a picture on Google Earth. What does Mount Sinai look like? And it kind of reminded me of Mount Rushmore. How many have been to Mount Rushmore? Oh, sure, a lot more hands. Wow. Was it as big as you thought as you it was going to be as when you got there? It was, or was it bigger? You're like, whoa, this is a mountain. So the idea, I think they're actually kind of similar in size. The idea was when the Israelites saw this, it was the biggest thing they'd ever seen. So if that's the biggest thing we've ever seen, our God must be at least that big. So now we've seen in our lives, we've seen much greater. We've seen skyscrapers. We've seen, you know, we've gone up in airplanes and looked down and we can see the people. They look like little ants running around when you look at them from an airplane. So our perspective is a lot different from the people, from the Israelites. So when it says that God is a rock, he's the largest thing that they knew. They didn't know any different. So God in the hymns is addressed, he's adored, and he's magnified, and he's made large. The second thing, God's mighty acts in salvation are recounted. So we think of what God has done, and we recount them. So I kind of want to ask you, what has God done in your life? Do you look back and recount, wow, look what God has done here, look what God has done there? Do you go back and recount those things? Also, I want to remind you that when it says salvation, it's not your own personal salvation. It's your own saving from certain death or certain trouble. How many of us have been in accidents? How many of us have needed the Lord's help and his guidance and care? The third thing is God's acts of judgment are rejoiced in. We're going to sing that this morning. It's very difficult to find a song that talks about God's judgment. You're like, what? We're going to sing about judgment this morning? Yes, we are. It says, rejoice, the Lord is King, our Lord and Judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. So we're actually going to sing to the great and almighty Judge this morning. So hopefully I want to just plant that seed. So when we finally sing that as a congregation, you'll say, oh, I remember him talking about that. He is the judge. The last thing, God's ways of living are encouraged. God's way of doing things. It's kind of like when you look at Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, there's like a different type of person, a Psalm 1 person and a Psalm 2 person. A Psalm 1 person follows God's way of living, and those are encouraged. So there they are, the Song of the Sea. We looked at that one last week. And don't worry, we're not going to go through all of them today. We don't have enough time in our Sunday school hour to look at all of them. But the next one after the Song of the Sea, Song of the Red Sea, is the Song of Moses, the Song of Deborah, the Song of Hannah, the Song of Habakkuk, the Song of Mary, the Song of Simeon, and then finally, the Song of the Redeemed, or the Song to the Lamb on the throne. So, we looked at the Red Sea last week. We're going to look at Moses this week, but not at the middle of his life when he goes across the Red Sea with the Israelites. He's at the end. He's old. He's not going to go into the Promised Land, but God gives him some specific instructions. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 19, it says, "Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." So he said, take this song and write it down, make sure they know it, make sure they can sing it, because when they go into the Promised Land and they follow after strange gods and they forget the one true God, I want something in their back of their minds that says, hey, do you remember this? It's almost like as we raise our children, we give them certain things to hang on to so that when they go out and you're not there looking over their shoulder, it serves as a witness to them. Remember, Mom said this. Remember, Dad said this. Don't forget it. So he wanted a witness that it was brought out. So they used a song for that form. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 46 and 47. "And he said to them, place in your heart all the words which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to be careful to do, even all the words of this law, for it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess." So in this song of Moses, I can kind of sum it up with two W's, a witness and a warning. So this warning, it's a warning to them. You better follow these words, okay? This is what, and in fact, it is your life. And if you don't do it, it is your death. So it is your life to follow these. So with this witness and this warning, Moses stands up in front of the people. Now, he's an old man. Jill and I don't have children, but I can imagine sometimes when the children, you have to discipline, and it can be a little frustrating. It's probably very difficult not to do it in anger, to do it to be controlled and to discipline accordingly. So we almost see a little bit of discipline by an older man. Okay, this is probably about a year before he passes away. I mean, we're probably looking at, you know, the cane. He can barely walk. So he says to the children, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain." Now, notice he doesn't say it's going to be really harsh and make sure you do it or there's going to be trouble. No, he says it's going to come to you as a nice, gentle rain. Most of the children are playing, probably saying, "Oh, please, parents, give me rain. Okay, don't give me harsh justice. Give me that gentle rain." He says, "My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." Can you think of a more gentle opening when you're about to give a witness and a warning to people? If you were going to talk to your children about something serious, would you use this language? I think it's amazing, that soft, gentle language that Moses uses. So then we start to get into, and I've put it in different colors on the screen so that you can see how he brings about the song and how it compares to the Song of the Sea and the Song of Hannah and the Song of Mary. These different attributes just keep coming into these songs. It's not like he just writes a song and none of them have anything to do with another one. They're all together. Moses says, "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, I will ascribe greatness. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is," what does he say? "He's the biggest thing we have ever seen. He is the rock, and his work is perfect. So he just starts out by proclaiming who God is to these people, setting it up in their mind that he is big and that he is a rock. Then he says, look at the green, for all his ways are what? They are judgment, and they are sure. They are sure judgments. It's not like, oh, I think I can escape. I can get through. God's not watching. I think I can make it. In the brown, it says, he is a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. His ways are exalted. His ways are truth. They are without iniquity. Just and right is he. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob, or you people who I'm talking to. Moses says, you people who I'm talking to, you, Jacob, is the lot of his inheritance. You are God's children. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as what? The apple of the eye. Now, that's not a little phrase that's used too often, but if it is said about somebody that they are the apple of your eye, what does that mean? I don't like them. No, that's usually set aside for your true love, your special one, right? The apple of the eye. And that's what Jacob was to God. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God in him. So not only does he say that the children are an inheritance, but then he gets a little deeper. He gets a little descriptive. He goes, look at this eagle that's flying. Look what the eagle does for her young. That's what God is doing for you. What a beautiful object lesson. He takes that picture and puts it right before the people. Look what he did for Jacob. Just as an eagle takes care of her young and beareth them on her wings. It says, rejoice, O ye nations, with his people. That means all nations. Rejoice with the people of God, for he will, notice this is green, this is talking about how God takes justice on his people. His power is magnified. For he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries. So we see different parts to this song, and the parts are very similar to the Song of the Sea. And he says, God will be merciful unto his land and to his people. So we see all these different parts that are very similar to the Song of the Sea. The next one's in black. I know there are small little teeny notes, and I don't expect you to see all those little notes. But the person who wrote the book, God's Lyrics, took Moses' song and put it into actual words. So I've got the song right here, and I don't know if I can sing it like a older Moses, but I will attempt to. So let's I'll sing it for you. Give ear, O heavens, hear, O earth, all of the words of my warning. May they fall gently as the rain, softening hearts which are hardened. Our God is great above all gods, our faithful rock whose ways are pure. Why should you not now adore him? Have you forgotten all his ways, how he has loved and redeemed you? Did he not choose you as his own, calling you out from the nations? Upon his wings he carried you out from the land of slavery. Why should you not now adore him? Do you not fear what God can do? Do not provoke him to anger. His sword is swift, his justice true. He repays all who reject him. For he is God and God alone. There is no other like the Lord. Why should you not now adore him? He has compassion on the poor, all who are lowly before him. Though who choose life and heed his word, he gives all heavenly blessings. Even his own beloved Son, who for our sake atonement made, why should you not now adore him? As I was singing, I was thinking about the message last Sunday morning, all who choose life. Right from the book of Deuteronomy. There are so many facets that are brought in from the song and put right into that. So then we move on from the song of Moses at the end of his life to the song of Hannah. We see that song in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says, Elkanah, and this is not from scripture, this is a paraphrase, Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah had children, and Hannah did not. Every year they went to the temple to offer sacrifice. Peninnah was very rude to Hannah year after year. Hannah wept bitterly, made a vow to the Lord for a son, and that year Hannah bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. For she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. She didn't present him the next year, but waited until he was a little boy of age. And Hannah took Samuel to the temple and gave him to the Lord. So now the words of Scripture, we see the exact song that she puts together. And as we look at it, I want you to notice how the ideas follow the song of the Red Sea and follow the song of Moses. So watch that in your mind. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Now, was this the salvation of her soul? No, it's the salvation from Peninnah. So you see that. Salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like unto our God. See, I'm kind of emphasizing certain things. Neither is there a rock like unto our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him the actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low. He lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the ash heap, so to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. So as I read through that, hopefully you saw, wow, she is almost saying the words of Moses from the Red Sea. She's almost saying the exact words of Moses at the end of his life, the witness and the warning. There's more.
He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in the darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king. Who is his king? Who is his king? Jesus is the king. He's in that Davidic line from David, and he's the ultimate king. This morning when we sing, all of our congregational songs will be singing praise to the king. The king for, number one, who he is and what he has done. He'll be magnified. We said a second ago that we're going to sing and praise him, that he is the judge. He's going to come and make things right. Oh, worship the king, oh, glorious above, and gratefully sing of his wonderful love. So many of our songs are going to talk about him as the king. He's going to give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. So we see this song of Hannah having many of the same attributes as the other songs. So now I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. I'm going to skip over Habakkuk. You're like, oh, don't forget him. I'm going to skip over Deborah. You're going to say, don't forget her. But if we go and research hers, they're exactly the same. I want to jump ahead to Mary. I want to look at Mary's words from Luke chapter 1. Look what Mary says right at the beginning. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Where did Mary learn this? It was passed down from generation to generation to generation. How do they know the Song of Moses? Parents gave it to their children. Children gave it to their children. Children gave it to their children. How do we know that we'll sing the song of Moses in heaven? Children giving it to children, giving it to children. My spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. For what did he do? Here's his works. For he hath regarded the low estate. You see the humility here? We certainly saw it in Hannah. The low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. That's God's ways being brought forth. His ways. What are his ways? Fearing God. That's his teaching that from generation to generation. Now we see green. He hath showed strength with his arm. Do you remember last week when Moses prayed God for the mighty arm? Look what God had done to the Egyptians. The water came right over them and all of them sank to the bottom like a stone. The same words, the same thing. And look at this next section. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Do you remember the words of Pharaoh? He said it many times. I will do this. I will overtake those Israelites. I will defeat them. I will. And we just saw it again and again. And you see those same words. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. Boy, we definitely see a comparison here between the lowly and the haughty, the people that are of high degree and high position and low degree, those who are hungry and those who are filled, the rich and the poor. He brings, boy, it just keeps coming back again and again. So when we sing, the elements for our hymns should have certain things. I actually think they should kind of copy what we've seen in Scripture. It shouldn't be something that's totally different, different thoughts. First of all, God should be magnified and adored. If we look at that first section, our hymn should have that aspect to it. A lot of times, many of the songs that we sing is just totally glancing over a lot of this. The first step, is God directly addressed? Is he magnified? Is God addressed in that song? Is it to the Lord, or is it to me? Is it about what God has done for me and my own salvation and what God is going to do to me when I die? He's going to take me to heaven. And we find that a lot of it is about me. But when we change it a little bit, we send it to God. Is God directly addressed and magnified? Second one, what mighty acts has God done for you? So can you recount what acts God has done for you? Can you recount any in the last week? Okay, I'm going to recount one that's just kind of come to my mind. We pull out of the church and we're heading back to the Russell's place. And I think the first day I was here, I heard somebody say they hit a deer. Okay, and you all live here going, okay, we're used to that. And while I'm driving 65, 70 miles an hour really quick, I'm going, what am I going to do if a deer just runs across? Can I stop in time? And those little thoughts just kind of come to my mind as I'm driving. Maybe you guys don't have those thoughts anymore because you're like, we're used to these roads and we can do it. But those deers are, you know, they're big. I think it was Dakota we were talking to. Dakota said, we used to be down in Louisiana where you were, and the deer were a lot smaller. I'm like, they were? I think our deer are huge. He goes, oh, no. The deer are much larger here in Kansas. So I said, oh, okay. So even that, the mighty acts of how he preserves, how he cares, how he does all things, what mighty acts has God done for you? We take that time and we praise God and we recount what he has done for us. Is God's strength and power proclaimed? Is his right arm of power? Do we say to the Lord, you are so strong that nothing can take you, nothing can stay your hand? Your power is great. It is full. Do we praise him for that? Thank you for your amazing power that holds everything together. Okay, the sun went down, and I'm talking to Tom last night, and what do I hear? Oh! I'm like, well, that's a loud coyote. He goes, oh, it's not just one. I said, well, how many is it? I don't know, 10 or 20. I said, 10 or 20? I said, what if they came like up to your house? Oh, they won't. I said, well, why won't they do that? Well, it's the way God has made them. I said, what about your poor cats? He goes, well, when we leave, they'll have eyes on the cats. I said, oh, no. But yeah, I know that's a silly thing. But God has power with even the simplest things in our lives, even our sicknesses, just all of those. I think the next one, the next point really comes out, especially with Hannah and Mary. And I think this can be in our hymns as well. Do our hymns show forth a humility? Does it bring down the fact that the mighty are going to be made low? Is that humility in our lives? We know that God does exalt the humble, but are we humble before him? The last one. God's judgment of his enemies are certain. It's not a question. It's not, I don't know, maybe God has another plan. Isn't it amazing that God has given us the book of Revelation so that we would know the ultimate outcome? We can look ahead and go. Now, some of it, we look at it and we say, Pastor, what does this mean? I don't know what this particular things mean. And there'll be maybe some of it where he says, I think I know, but I'm not exactly sure. He hasn't given us everything, but most of it, he has given us the end. And his judgment is certain. So at the end of this lesson, I say, are we an enemy of God? if that judgment is certain, we do not want to be his enemy. We want to be his friend. We want to exalt his name. We want to exalt his power. We want to be on the right side of this thing, because his judgments are certain. He took care of the Egyptians. What an object lesson, seeing the water go right over them, to see that. But that judgment of God is certain. So make sure that we are right with God, and we are right on his side, and be humble before him. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be done, and we'll be getting ready for the service. It's a service that I've looked forward to for about 2.5 months. Once I talked to Brother Ben, and we kind of had an idea. You folks have tone chimes in your church, and I kind of thought, what if those tone chimes accompanied the worship? So this morning, the tone chimes are going to accompany the worship. They're going to play specials unto the Lord. All of the songs are going to describe Christ as our King, and we hope that is a blessing to worship together with that theme this morning. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these little parts of Scripture. We can look at the songs that are in Scripture, and we can see that you are magnified and adored. We can see that you are the judge of all things. Your judgment is certain. We can see that you are great and powerful on the behalf of your people, and that you do take care of your enemies. Father, we pray that we have just seen and learned a little bit from your word, and we thank you for it. We just pray that you'll be with us in our worship of you and exalting Christ as our King in the next hour. And we ask this in your name. Amen. I think you need it.